Hallelujah. Well, it was going to be a short, telling Zina earlier, so it was going to be a short sermon this week. Because up till, well, all week I've just had two phrases.
Ooh.
Two? Yeah.
Well,
but the two were about the same. One was just a twist on the other. Andrew added a little bit on Wednesday. So that was good. Thank you. Well, it was only a little bit. Anyhow. If I haven't finished by 7, just give me that. No, it's not a joke. So I had this phrase in my head. We met some friends last Sunday. And this phrase stuck in my head. It said, how big is your God?
Amen.
And then there was a twist on it. It says, how big is your vision of your God?
Yeah.
How big is your God? And that just stuck with me. Whole week, and I didn't know where it was going or what we're going to look at. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of examples of how God came through for different people.
Yeah.
And met the needs and changed direction and zapped armies out of the way and did all sorts of things.
Amen.
And as I've sort of pondered through this week on it all, we're heading, well, Andrew added a little bit about the storehouse.
Yeah.
And he mentioned a book that's going round about the storehouse. How we need a storehouse. Because if God's going to bless you, you've got to have a storehouse to put it in.
Yeah.
It's no use getting it and then not knowing what to do with it and it goes off. Or it just disappears. It's got to be stored somewhere. So the two things put together. And we're going to look at finance.
Amen.
And I've got £1 million in this pocket to give away, and £2 million in this. Now I've given it you all. Now that's it. You've got it all. I gave you your little cut earlier. No, I haven't really got £1 million. But I know I could do with £1 million, and it wouldn't be go out and buy lots of cars and houses and clothes. But there's lots of. I mean, my heart is to go out and, I don't know for how long, but we support some children. I know some people do it in Africa through Education for Life.
Mm.
And I still want to go out there and just do some teaching out there.
Oh,
yeah. And so I know where I would like to plough some money.
Yeah.
But I haven't got there yet.
Well,
that's it. I don't keep putting myself off because they tell me there's snakes and all sorts of things out there. So oh, well, maybe I'm not going then, Lord. Maybe I'm not going.
By the way, snakes in America.
Yeah, right. Is there? All right. Yeah. I'll wear my trousers and my socks then. But you've got to have a vision.
Yeah.
We were talking with Grace a couple of Saturdays ago as we were at Christchurch.
Yeah.
And it's... If you're not careful, you lose your vision. Or it gets stolen from you. You've nothing to aim for. We were talking like the youth, the lads have got, they've got a vision. They know where they want to go. They know what they want.
Well, he got it this week.
Well, that's right. He was aiming for.
Amen.
I remember Jonathan with his motorbike. He got this motorbike. He got pictures of this motorbike, hadn't he, Pauline? And he knew exactly which motorbike he was going for, and he knew the colour of it, and he knew everything. And strangely enough, he got that motorbike. But it's having this, it's having a goal, it's having a focus.
Yes.
But there's lots of us in this room.
Mm.
Need an increase in our finances.
Amen.
We need an increase. We need a... Some people are at the desperate stage. Not saying who, but I know the people in here that they're desperate for a break, the financial breakthrough.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at Psalm 118, I should say. But there's people in here that are desperate for that financial breakthrough. I was talking to Grace, this is the same, and I said, it just seems as though we're feeding the checkbook.
Yeah.
All the work we do, we just feed the checkbook to pay the bills. And there's more to it than that.
There is.
Amen. So let's have a look at Psalm 118 and I can't remember what verse now. Verse 25. It's a kind of a prayer. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified, which is very similar. It's the same anyhow. It says, "Save now, we beseech you, O Lord. Send now prosperity, O Lord, we beseech you. And give to us success."
Yeah.
Save now.
Yeah.
Now is sort of... Now. It's sort of... Save now, not tomorrow. Not, well, in a few months' time. It says, "Save now, I beseech thee." Beseech is a word, it's a desperate word. Mm. It's a begging word. It's a... now and yesterday, if you could do it, please. It's that sort of intent that he's looking at. And he says it twice. So it's quite a desperate situation that David sees himself in on this one. Send now prosperity. Send now prosperity. Prosperity doesn't always need to be money. Prosperity can be your health.
Yeah.
It's something to prosper you. It's to prosper in all areas of your life. What we need to do is we need to be desperate.
Yeah.
We need to be desperate enough, as David was here.
Yeah.
To call on that. It says somewhere in, I can't remember where now in scripture, it's on about the day of trouble. In the day of trouble. Now, we've all had a day of trouble. Sometimes it seems like every day is a day of trouble. And then when you get to a day of not trouble, you're expecting the trouble anyhow. But day of trouble, it's where everything is against you. It just seems everything is thrown against you. And the pressure is on. We've got a situation within our family, and I was getting lots of telephone calls on Friday afternoon, which was trying to rob me of my peace and trying to get me wound up and giving me a false picture of what was going on. And that sent to me an hour of trouble. But it was, that's that sort of thing, when everything's upon you, but you're not sleeping well. And that you're doing everything just to keep your sanity in a day. This is what David's talking about. I beseech you. You're wanting wisdom. You're wanting guidance. It's urgent. You can't wait. It's got to be now. Now, David's saying. But we've got to keep our eye, and it's been said, I think by Ken and by Andrew, keep our eyes on God. Keep our eye on his word. Keep our eye on his promises.
Amen.
But send now. And looking into the answer to this, because it's no use posing a question without an answer. And I was reading some from what Peter was saying. He goes on about reminding us of things that we already know.
Yeah.
Peter says that. It's good to be reminded of things, because there's nothing new in the Word. There's nothing new in there, and it's just reminding us of things we already know. And you think, "Whoa, that was a simple answer. Why didn't I think of that?" So let's go back to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. And it says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." Well, that's good to start with. The Lord hears you in the day of trouble.
Amen.
The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Ooh. Send help. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Well, they're two good verses to start with.
Amen.
Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Then it says, think on this. Let's go back and think on it. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The Lord hears you when you call out. That's what he's saying. He hears you when you call out in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defends thee. So if you're in trouble, God is defending you. It says so in his word. He says, send in your help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. Hallelujah. I'll have to get better at scribbling my notes down. So we ponder on this. It says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in the salvation and in the name of our God. We will set up banners and the Lord fulfill all thy petitions.
Amen.
Amen. Petition. What's a petition? It's when you want to get somebody's attention. Lots of petitions go around these days. They want your names on it to get something changed. They're trying to get some. So in this sense, the petition is looking back at Psalm 118, it's, oh Lord, send now prosperity.
Yeah. Sure.
And it's interesting to know that prosperity also means peace. So, it's peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
He's the top one, he's the head, he's got the peace.
Yeah.
He shared it with us.
Yeah.
He left the peace. It says, have peace that passes all understanding. So we're told to have peace in our hearts. When we, at the unit, we've been going through some quite horrendous times, haven't we, with one thing and another. And it, you just soon can lose your peace.
Yeah.
And at times you've got to just wander away.
Yeah.
And have that few minutes on your own. Not that we're fighting and falling out amongst ourselves. You know, there's no fisticuffs. But it's just other things that are coming into that are trying to lose this peace.
Yeah.
And peace also means the absence of stress.
Praise God.
Oh, amen. So you got prosperity, it means the absence of stress.
Amen.
We'll all have some absence of stress.
Definitely.
Especially when you've got teenage sons. Well, some. They're really lovely. Really?
Yeah.
When they're asleep. Hallelujah. But we all fall under this.
Yeah.
It's so easy to lose it.
Yeah.
I know this from experience. But financial attacks.
Yeah.
I was reading a little book on this and it said, I think it was Jerry Seville's book. It said they come from two areas. They mainly come from two areas. One's from Satan. And the other one is us.
Yeah.
We're the other main culprit. Mm-hmm. We mismanage our money.
Yeah.
You know, I love that new car over there. Can't afford it, but we'll go for it. We've got a flexible friend. You know. And it's going for things we don't really need, but we have them anyhow. Some things we do need, but we can't afford them at the time, but we still go for them. Some still go for them any time. But it's us mismanaging money. And that's something that each one has got to take up with God and repent and deal with and ask him how to sort that one out. But of course we've got the old adversary as well, who comes into, well, his job was to come in to kill, steal and destroy.
Yeah.
So he's, if he can't kill you, he'll steal something.
Yeah.
And he'll try and destroy you. But he'll get you one way. Oh, sorry, correct himself. He's trying. He's got three ways he tries.
Mm.
So you've just got to be aware of this.
Amen.
So the deliverance. Deliverance. The answer. It's a combination. It's a combination of we've got to do something,
mm-hmm.
and God says I've already done something.
Mm-hmm.
But we can use that as a prayer. We can use that in Psalm 18. Send now prosperity. And we're told that in Psalm 20 that God will answer.
Yeah.
God will answer that request. It may not come back as you want. It may come back and say, well, actually, I've sent it you, but you've messed it up, and this is what we need to do, and then we'll sort it and we'll start again.
Mm-hmm.
So expect the unexpected answer back, that you might have to do something. In fact, you probably will have to do something, and I'll have to do something.
Yeah.
We have to be expecting that God will answer, that God's... Got to be expecting, got to be ready. That's where the storehouse came in, you know, got to expect. I know I heard a tale of, I think it was Jerry Seville again, when he'd bought a hangar for a plane, but he hadn't got a plane at the time. And you couldn't get hangars for planes if you hadn't got a plane, but he got one. And he used to go down there and he used to put all his tools in it and get it all ready and talk to his plane that wasn't there. But he was speaking it into being.
Amen.
As God said, yeah, your plane's coming. Prepare for it.
Mm.
He prepared the storehouse.
Amen.
He'd even employed a pilot at the time. Who was probably just cleaning the hangar. I know it's a silly example, it's an extreme example, but it's preparing.
It's
preparing the for it.
Oh.
That's right, that's the expectant, yeah. So we need to know that help is on the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't always arrive when we want it. It doesn't always arrive in the form we want it, but we know that help is on the way.
Mm.
There's things, I suppose just call them divine links. Things are linked together. And looking back at Psalm 20 and verse 3, God talks about our offerings.
Yeah.
And our burnt, we don't do many burnt sacrifices, but we do offerings. I never mentioned dinners. All right. It says, God remembers all your offerings. God remembers your offerings. He remembers everything you do. And what we've actually started doing now, we've all the old checkbooks out and everything, and we've made a sheet up, and we've put down all that we've tithed from January. All our tithes have gone down on this sheet.
Praise
all our offerings that we can remember anything from. And then we've got another one at the side, and it's gifts.
Yeah.
You know, returns put down in there. And you can use this as evidence.
You can
use it as evidence against when the devil comes and says, I'm sorry, you're not ever going to get that. You go, sorry. But it's written here in Psalm 20 that God's going to act on it. He remembers our offerings. Oh, and by the way, we've got a list of them here.
Yeah.
All dated.
Yeah.
Of our tithes and our offerings that we've given. So we can use it against him.
Yeah.
We can use that. Don't just throw it in the... Just jot them down somewhere, what you give in your diary.
Yeah.
That you can then say, no, it's wrong, you're wrong. God remembers my offerings.
Mm.
And by the way, I've remembered them as well, and they're here.
Yeah.
And this is what I've given. Hallelujah. When all else fails, we can give. Somebody once said, and I can't remember who it was, never eat your seed.
Right.
Never eat the last pound.
Yeah.
You know, sow it. Sow your seed. Sow it. And it, again, it doesn't have to be money. If you haven't got money, you can't sow money. But you've got to sow, you've got some seed, but you've just got to look for it at times. It might just be, Catherine went out to
Romania.
I won't say Hungary for a minute. To Romania. And you were sowing seed.
Mm.
You were helping out there. You were sowing seed out there. You couldn't have done it from here. You had to actually go out there and do it. But it was seed. So you're going to get a harvest. You're going to end up with a basketball, a thingy in your volleyball court in your... It's not always money. It can be cooking a meal for somebody. It can be going round and offering to help them do something. It can be whatever you want, you know. Do you want your lawn cutting? You know, I'm going to see if I want to cut this. I want to be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
I want to sow some seed.
Yeah.
Sow some seed. Never, you might think, oh, well, I've only got this pound. It's not much. God's not looking at that. God saw the one with the 2 copper coins and said she'd given everything. Given everything, so just give, keep giving. I remember writing all this. Let's just go into the New Testament, into Acts. Acts 10. I've got a wonderful example here, starting in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band.
Yeah.
A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always.
Mm.
And this was a non-Jew.
Mm.
And he's got a mention in here. This was a non-Jew, and they hadn't received the Holy Spirit at that time. They hadn't received the Holy Ghost. But he was a giver. He did all he knew to do. A devout man, feared God, and he gave. Gave regularly. And in verse 3 it goes on, he saw in a vision evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he came up and he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God.
Yeah, that's it.
So, going back to Psalm 20, where it said God remembers you, your giving.
Yeah.
He remembers you. But it's building a memorial. Now, memorials are huge things, usually.
Yeah.
You get the World War I, the World War II ones, and you know, they're sort of huge. If you go to France, they're even bigger. You know, the Menin Gate is absolutely giant. You drive your bus through it. It was there to be noticed. And God's saying that your prayers and your alms have built a memorial before me. Before God. God sees this huge thing. You've built a mound before God of your giving. And like I say, not necessarily money, but it's giving. But it's before God. Does God see your monument before him? But help is on the way. Help was on the way to Cornelius. Because through Cornelius, the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. because he started the ball rolling, as you might say. Giving is a demonstration of your faith. That's at times it hurts to give. It's difficult to give because you think, oh, I've got to give money, I've got to give a certain amount, I've got to do this, but you haven't. It's got to give what God tells you to give.
Yeah.
It's a demonstration of your faith, and we're told in Hebrews that faith pleases God. So we're pleasing God by giving. By giving whatever He's asked us to give. Being consistent in our giving.
Yeah.
It's not just I tried it for a week and it didn't work.
No.
Then I said, Andrew came up on Wednesday, mentioned about the storehouse and the book. There's a few books going around on it. And it's how to build a storehouse, why you need to build a storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Why you need to be ready for when God comes through.
Yeah.
Cornelius never stopped giving. But we haven't got to stop giving. We've got to give what we can. You've got to give your time, your energies. At times, it's difficult. And God will always give you, if you're a giver, God will give you the seed.
Yeah.
It says in 2 Corinthians 9. It also says a few other things about giving as well. God loves a cheerful giver, it says in here. But I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who soweth bountifully will reap bountifully.
Yeah.
It's obvious really, but it takes God to write it down. Then it goes on in verse 10. It said, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. He gives the seed. If you're a sower of the seed, God will always supply your seed.
Amen.
You'll never be without it. You might have to look for it. You might have to think, well, it's not obvious. What have I got to give this time? I mean, I've heard people that all they had in there was a pencil. And they'd give a pencil because it was the only thing they got that was left. And I know the extreme ones, but if that's all you own and it is yours to give, God will honour that.
He will.
God will honour it. If you've only time to pray for someone every day, God will honour that, your giving up of your time, your energies. So don't give up on your giving. God used a stick that Moses was carrying. He said to Moses, what are you carrying? I've just got a stick. I can use that stick. He said, did all sorts with that stick, didn't he? You know, there were all sorts of miracles and things happen just through a stick that he was carrying.
Mm-hmm.
God can use anything. Use anybody.
Yeah.
Satan comes to using the mind to discourage.
Yeah.
And yeah, we all fall for it. I fall for it. I've been struggling with something for about a year now. But I know that God's keeps coming back, well, I still love you, son.
Yeah.
I'm still struggling with it, but he doesn't give up. It's even as simple as tithing.
Yeah.
Because we'll have to go to Malachi. Malachi 3. I once asked God why he put Malachi so close to the New Testament. He says because it's important. It's nearly got in there. It's important. He says, will a man rob God? In verse 8 of chapter 3. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed even this whole nation. So they were robbing, they weren't just robbing God, they were robbing the whole nation of Israel. So, if you're robbing God, you're affecting not only yourself, but the fellowship you're in with as well.
Yeah.
And God says to us in verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove now wherein, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it. A blessing that you can't even imagine how big it's going to be. Whoa. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake.
Amen.
Simple, really, isn't it? You've got to bring your tithes into the storehouse. Bring it in, put it in, and God will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground.
Yeah.
Neither shall your vines cast their fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land. Saith the Lord of hosts. A land. This is land.
Yeah.
Land.
Yeah.
We were reading a psalm this morning. You mentioned it this morning, didn't you? Was it Psalm 68, wasn't it? Psalm 68 was on about land. Oh, it says it's verse 9 in Psalm 68. It says, thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. God confirming his inheritance when you're weary. He's sending the water, which is the Holy Spirit, on the land, which is you. So how big is your God? How big is your God? What's the vision of your God? Can he meet all your needs or some of your needs? Can he meet all your needs? Are your offerings in the face of God? We not every week, but a lot of the time, we usually pray before we leave home with our offerings, before they get here and the tithes. And we just offer them to Jesus, because he's the one who's mediating. He's the one that's taking them to the Father and putting them on the throne. We don't just sling them in the bucket. We're saying, this is, Andrew would call it your rent. That's the 10% that God wants. This is right, it's his rent.
Yes.
Offerings are over and above that.
Yeah.
Now if you read the book that Ron Cody wrote, it gets complicated. Well, you need to read that one actually. Why the Hell Am I in Debt? Because it goes on about the other tithes of your increase. So it gets quite complicated, but it's all scripturally based. But Andrew would say, it's your rent. We don't pay rent at the unit, the landlord would throw us out. Well, that's the theory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's if you don't pay your mortgage or your rent or whatever, you know, somebody will knock on your door and say, excuse me, would you like to leave now?
That's good.
We've got a kind God. He's kind. He's hard working. And he puts up with a lot. So it's giving you your offerings as well, over and above this. Keep a record of it. And use it against the devil. When he comes up and says, you can't have that holiday, you can't have this, you can't pay that. You want to pay somebody's gas bill off for him? Don't be silly. And you just say, excuse me. But this is what my God says in Psalm 20. He remembers my offering. He remembers it. And it says in, we've just read in Malachi, that you just do that and he'll rebuke the devourer. Rebuke the devourer, that what you've got will not be destroyed. It'll not, you'll not lose your harvest off it. I hope this has been of a help, but you should just expect victory.
Amen.
And I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone else here. We should expect victory in all that we do.
Yeah.
We shouldn't go around in the with our heads down, because Ken said it when we did communion. It's done, it's finished.
Mm.
He took it all to the cross.
Yeah.
Absolutely completed. We can't do anything about it. Can't do any more to it. We can't add to it, take away. It's finished. It's sealed.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we had nothing to do with that covenant. It was between God and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't make a mess of that one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, just really, all you remember today is Psalm 118 and Psalm 20. And just keep reminding him. Thank you, God, that you remember my offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you that you're going to meet all my needs. Amen.
I don't know about you, but in the worship time, his presence was just so real and so wonderful. And, you know, when we were singing, Jesus, we revel in your love,
yeah.
I had this picture in my mind of Trafalgar Square at New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve,
yeah.
You know, with all the fountains and all of them frolicking around. Many of them maybe have been at the alcohol, but we don't need that, do we? We've got the Holy Spirit. And he just wants us to enjoy his presence and to be so intimately involved in our lives. And it's just so lovely to be in his presence. He's good, isn't he? He's really good. I just wanted to share with you a scripture that came to mind from Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. And it says, I'm reading from the New Living. It says, God saved you by his special favour when you believed.
Yeah.
And now you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
Amen.
God's got good plans for us, and he planned those things for us long ago. And all he requires of us is that we believe him,
yeah.
And then that we step out and do what he tells us to do.
Amen.
Everything else he's done.
Yeah.
He's provided the way.
Yeah.
He sent Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he saved us because he loves us so much.
Amen.
And he just wants us to respond in love and obedience.
Praise
and he'll take us deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And what we want to see is him moving in the supernatural, isn't it? Because he's a supernatural God. And that's my heart and vision, part of the vision of the work in Romania, that we'll see a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the area. And that young people, and some old, I hope, will just know what it is to be in love with Jesus and to be full of the Holy Spirit and to do the works that Jesus did and spread the gospel. I'd just like to thank you so much for your love and prayers and support The volleyball court is finished. Catherine was such a blessing when she came over. We'd met here, but excuse me, we didn't know each other. Excuse me, but God just put such a love between us. And she's such a lovely lady, so easy to get on with. And she was such a blessing. I couldn't have asked for anybody better to come. So you're really blessed. And thanks, Catherine. She's probably all embarrassed now. But we flowed together well. She just got stuck in. And we prepared the volleyball court. It was probably only a week later that we managed to get it finished. And so we've got young people from the village coming through my garden at the moment into the field at the back to play volleyball. And one of the young people said to me when we'd finished, he said, "I can't believe it. Can't believe that anybody cares enough to do something for the young people." And he's the Baptist pastor's son. And I said, "Well, actually, it wasn't me. You know, it was God's idea. And he loves you, and this is just an expression of his love through the body of how much he loves the young people." And so we've had all kinds of young people. Actually, some of the five-year-olds want to come and play, but they're a bit small because the net's up here, you know. And I managed to get hold of some badminton, what are they called, rackets? Yeah, not net, not bats, are they? Rackets. And so we managed to make a makeshift badminton court as well. But it doesn't really matter that it's, you know, wouldn't pass the EU standards or anything. It's high enough. It's got a tiny little net at the moment. But maybe next year we'll be able to do something a bit better. But they were able to, you know, knock it over. And some of them are really quite good, actually. Got good eye and hand coordination. And the younger ones can play then as well. It goes under the net, but hey, who's watching really? And there is a good place where they can come in a safe place to play. Not that it's dangerous really where we live. I mean, women can walk around at night without, you know, worrying about being attacked or anything. It's quite a safe place at the moment anyway. And another young man, a young teenager, David, who's I think he's 13, he might be 14, came to me and said, "Janice, do you think you can start a Bible study?" So we're looking into that one too. Don't want to tread on anyone's toes particularly, but there isn't a Bible study for the young people. So it's an opportunity, just praying really how to go forward that one. And another young man, 25, 26, came and played volleyball, and he said to me, can you give me some help with my English?" So anyway, to cut a long story short, he came to talk to me about how I can help him with his English, and I kind of asked, "Well, why do you want to learn? You know, what purpose?" Because it kind of helps you to go in the right direction, really. And he ended up talking about his life and Christian things. His parents are believers, but he isn't walking with the Lord. And so we were able to talk about the Lord and Christian things. And then he came back. We spent 3 hours doing that. And then he came back again a few weeks later. And again, just really very hungry. And the day before I came over, or a couple of days before I came over, he said, I happened to meet him in the street, and he said, "Oh, I really need to see you before you go. I've got lots of things to tell you." And I thought, well, this is amazing. You know, it was nothing that I'd instigated. And God's on the move.
Amen.
And this young man, he knows a lot of people. And he's been a bit of a naughty boy. So, you know, when he comes through to acknowledge Jesus as his Lord, it will have quite an impact on the area because the difference will be so noticeable. So God's moving, and we just need to know the next step, really, the next step forward. We just need to hear from him. You know, just like he said, build a volleyball court. I'm just waiting, really, to hear from him where to go next. I've got all kinds of ideas, but I need his idea. You know, because his idea is the one that's going to bear fruit. And we're talking about honey and things with Andrew and Grace. They've got some lovely organic honey in Romania. I don't know if any of you have had... Catherine's tasted some. And, you know, some pastors are in the area, have hives and bees, and we'd like to help them because they're exploited. You know, they don't get a fair price for the honey. Not quite sure how yet, but God knows, and he's faithful. And I just need to walk in, just like you do, the works that he's planned for me. And then I can know his favour and his blessing. And we'll see the kingdom of God established. And not just in Bontesh, but the whole area, I believe, is just going to be touched by his glory. And, you know, I've seen a river, just a river of love and blessing flowing through the area that will touch the young people particularly. But we can all be young of heart, can't we? In fact, we're encouraged, aren't we, to be like children. And maybe splashing in the river is a good thing to do. Yeah. So thank you very much for your prayers. Don't stop praying. And we'll hear and see what good plans that God has for that area and for the whole of the... I think it will is not just for Romania, but I've got a whole heart for Eastern Europe as a whole, to see the glory of God come and touch people's lives, and that they're no longer people that just sit in the church and have a religious duty to go to church, but they really know the living Lord and have a relationship with him that is meaningful, and that they really know his love, that he loves them, and that they can know the depth of his salvation and what he did for them on the cross. Amen.